Second item on the agenda is Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Brown. Commissioner Carabelli.
Present.
Dougie.
Present.
Flynn. Kleinfeld.
Here.
Marino.
Here.
Myjack.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Sabatini.
Here.
Sauger.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Toco.
Here.
Vosburgh.
Here.
Adoption of the agenda to add one resolution, which is the Enbridge line, which will be 8B, and then proclamation will be B and C for the ones that we just passed at the Finance Committee meeting. Motion as amended, moved by Carabelli, supported by Sabatini. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The agenda is so adopted. Public participation. Any members of the public wish to talk about agenda items on the first public participation? Please state your name and your address, and you have 5 minutes. Please direct your comments to the board.
Good morning, once again. Macomb County Board of Commissioners, Joseph Hunt, homeowner, taxpayer in the city of Warren, candidate for the public office in Macomb County this year. Specifically, I saw an article in the Free Press yesterday that was written by Christina Hall regarding that there was going to be some addressing of the hiring practices by the county. I didn't see it on the agenda.
It is not on the agenda.
So I don't want to talk about that. So at this point, the specific thing, at this point, if it's not on the agenda, I don't want to talk anymore.
Thank you. Any other members of the first public participation for items that are on the agenda? Please state your name and your address, ma'am.
I'm 75 Hunt Hudson, 1 Michigan 4 8. I guess when there's no reports, my question is, when there are reports that we as citizens can visually see, I post them on the website easily, because sometimes information isn't as easy to follow. A report is just data of information, in my opinion, on what is going on with what you guys are doing. That makes sense. I mean, what it says on the report, there's nothing to report. Thank you.
Any other members of the public wishing to speak on agenda items? For the first public participation, once, twice, public participation is closed on the third time. Correspondence from the executive, I think the chief deputy executive has a verbal report.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mark Hilton, representing the executive's office. I wasn't planning on speaking tonight, but I just wanted to let you know.
Mark never went to bed last night. He's rolling through the morning.
It's Thursday night somewhere.
The day's not going very well so far. At 6:30 a.m. this morning, I was informed that Detroit DTE pole on Church Street near Main is caught on fire. It knocked out the power to several buildings, but including the administration building, just the administration building. The power's been out since then. We've been in constant contact with DTE. That's why I've been stepping in out of the room this morning. We did make the decision at 9:30 this morning. It was our recommendation to close the building for the day, but I leave that up to the elected officials, meaning the prosecutor and the treasurer, to determine what they want to do with their staff. It was our recommendation to our department heads to close the building because there's only one elevator car of the four that are working, and that's working off of a generator right now. And the booster pumps in the basement that bring water pressure up to the 9 floors are not working because there's no electricity, which means water pressure is low in the building today. So I just wanted to update you. DTE, by 9:30 this morning, DTE could not give us a definitive answer when the power line would be restored. So at that point, we had to make a decision because we have employees in there without ventilation, heat, and low water pressure. So we did close the building. Signage being put on the outside of the doors. Security is aware of that. They stayed in the building today. And we put some information on our website. So I just want to let you know that's what's going
on. Thank you.
That's all I know.
And the board office is closed, and I've sent everybody home already. So if you have a call, call myself, cell phone, and Patty's cell phone today. Any other questions? Committee reports, government operations, JPS and HHS all flowed into the Finance Committee, which we just went through. I have a motion by the Chair and the Vice Chair. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Items carry unanimously. So we have resolutions A and B. Do we want to take them together?
Yes.
Yeah.
Moved in their entirety by Sauger, supported by Vosburgh. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The items carry unanimously. Proclamations A, B, and C. We'll take them entirely. Moved by Marino, supported by Majek. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The items carry unanimously. Update on 2015 DIA end of the year report. We do have with us the chair of the Macomb Arts Authority, Stan Simic. We have Catherine Diamond, who just got a promotion to Vice President of Community Relations. And Lillian Demas, who also sits on the board and the DIA board for Macomb County.
You stole half my comments. I'm Stan Simic, Chairman of the Macomb County Art Institute Authority. This morning we're here to present the DIA report. You have a hard copy, printed copy in front of you. The electronic version you should have received, I believe, several weeks ago. I just want to reiterate some of the things that Salvador said, that he will be speaking tonight at the Italian Cultural Center in Township. And the DIA Away Think Like an Artist trailer will be in St. Clair Shores this weekend at the Eastside Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday. And just one of the points that I want to make is that 4 years ago, prior to the millage agreement, the Detroit Institute of Arts did not have a community outreach program department at all. Catherine Diamond's department didn't exist. The outreach has been so successful to all of the counties that recently she was promoted to Associate Vice President and is part of the highest governing board at the DIA. So that's how pleased the DIA is. Salvador touched a little bit on the changing of the culture at the museum, and that is one of the biggest changes. I think the success that we've had in the counties with schools, outreach programs, senior programs, and participation from residents of Macomb County, I think are really a credit to the agreement, how well it is working. And we're here to answer any questions that you have about the report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Real quick question. Salvatore brought up a good point. Prior to the bond issue approved by the voters, the attendance at the DIA then and the attendance now, what percentage change was that?
So percentage change, I'm not sure. I can't do the math in my head right now. But what I can say is that in before the millage in 2012, the attendance was roughly 450,000 people, around that range. Since the millage, we had last year, I think our goal this year is 650,000. So it's, you know, gone up significantly with the result of free general admission to the DIA. We've seen not only a new, larger group of people coming, but also I think what is really interesting is the diversity of people coming to the museum has been really interesting. We've got residents from the Tri-County, from really outlying areas coming to the museum that may not have done that in the past. So one of the goals of the village really is to make the museum as accessible as possible. And free admission goes a long ways back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me add just one thing. In the service contract, it provides for dollars for free bus transportation for schools. I worked at the museum a decade ago, and one of the big objections that we heard from school districts, they could not afford bus transportation down to the DIA. Since the service contract provides for bus transportation, the amount of students in schools has exploded dramatically. In your report, I believe the more detailed report lists all of the schools that have gone down to the DIA. We've seen an enormous increase in that. Coupled with that, DIA Way, Think Like an Artist trailer, visits many schools, and I think the total number of visits was over 5,000?
It is.
5,000 students that did that. So we're very pleased with the way the outreach is doing, especially on the side of schools. We've also had a lot of teachers participate in programs that the museum provides, educating them. I believe some of you attended the event in April in Kresge Court at the DIA. That very night, there were teachers from Macomb County touring the museum and learning about the educational opportunities that the museum provides.
I would like to take a moment and talk about the school programs. Our teachers, so free field trips is core to what we do, but we also work really closely with educators to develop curriculum that then is available online through the DIA's website under the educator portal, where teachers from across the region and from across the country can utilize those resources to connect the arts wherever they are with their classroom. So using the DIA's collection to extend classroom learning is a key thing, a key activity of our museum, and we feel really passionately about that. And it's, again, a result of the millage that has been very successful. So
well, I'll add one comment to that, is that I'm very familiar with the school program, the educator program, and I don't know if you know this, but our board chair here in Macomb County, David, is very instrumental with the superintendents and conference calls that we had meetings and setting up that transportation in the schools to be able to participate in that in the very infancy of this whole program. Dave, I remember spending a lot of time in your office and in meetings.
I remember you being there too. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, the rest of you don't know, Dave actually was very instrumental in making that happen through the DIA. So.
And also, the Arts Authority, the original board, there were a lot of educators from Macomb County on that board, and they were very instrumental of reaching out. Lillian has done an excellent job of reaching out to educators of Macomb County, so I think it's worked very well for us.
And it's truly a team effort. I mean, if you didn't have the schools, you didn't have Jim that connected the meeting, or the DIA willing to do that, things like this with partnerships would never happen. Commissioner Vujic?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The school component is marvelous. I think it's great that transportation and availability for the DIA is very, very good for them going forward. Can you touch a bit on the senior initiative that you've got about the senior citizens and transportation coming in for that?
I would love to. Thank you for that opportunity to talk about the our new Senior Thursdays program. For the first 3 years of the Millage, we offered free transportation to senior centers from the Tri-County, and that's a requirement in the service agreement, something we're very pleased to do. And what we realized, there were a couple things we realized, is senior centers were interested in different opportunities. They would come time and time again, and they said, well, what else can we do here? And we said, wow, we have a lot that you can do here. We've got art making. We've got lectures that you could do. We've got tours in the gallery, or we've got the Build Theater to see a matinee. So we worked internally. We spoke with our Arts Authority and got some guidance from them. But we also worked internally across the museum to develop a new program, and it's every single Thursday. It's called Senior Thursdays. We may need some help on the name. I agree. We might want to change the name. But it's Senior Thursdays, and we welcome, and we still pay for buses for seniors to come to the museum. We encourage them to be full buses to make sure we're adequately using the dollars that have been allocated. So a bus, for example, might pick up in St. Clair Shores and then drive over to, East Point and pick up some seniors and then come to the DIA on Thursdays. And each Thursday is a different experience. So the first Thursday of the month will be a guided tour in the galleries. The second Thursday will be a lecture by an expert. Maybe Salvador will even do a talk once in a while. The third Thursday is art making in our studio. We think it's really important for seniors to have an opportunity, and all of us actually, to have an opportunity to have hands-on opportunities to be creative and show their creativity. And then the fourth Thursday is a film in the Detroit Film Theater. It's a matinee in the film theater. So every Thursday there would be a different activity. And really what we're hoping to encourage people to do too is to come down on their own. If they like what they saw when they came with their senior center, come on down, get a group of seniors on your own, and come down, and they can participate in that activity as well. So it's not just for groups, but we really open the opportunity up to all seniors, and hoping to provide that opportunity to active seniors, young seniors on the younger end of the senior continuum as well. So that program is fantastic, and I'd love to talk more and more about it, but I want to keep the time short.
Thank you.
I've been down to observe senior Thursday, not as a senior, but as a
observer.
The first day I came down, there was a group from the Assumption Cultural Center and Romeo, and there's art making and the galleries that goes on, and people take the tours. They really like it. And the fact that they know that it's Sunday or Thursdays at 1 p.m., that's senior time, that's like on everybody's calendar now. And so it's really become kind of a popular event. So I would encourage, I think, reaching out to seniors in your community, senior groups. And again, that's covered by the village dollars, and there is bus transportation provided in. If you can get a group of seniors there, just reach out to Castle. So it's a great opportunity. It's been very popular, too.
I had heard about this, and I think it's marvelous that DIA is offering services like this, not only for the young, but for the seniors in our communities. And I think it's marvelous that they have these programs, they're pushing these programs, and I'm very proud that the DIA is doing what they're doing as far as arts going forward. Thank you very much for your efforts. Thank you.
Commissioner Sabatini, and then Smith on deck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just very briefly, I'm sure we all read the audit reports because that's what we'd love to do. just looking over the audit reports that were provided by Plant Moran, I noticed that there were some expenses associated to the Home County Arts Institute that weren't directly related to Macomb County. And I'm just asking to go back and look into that. I don't know if Plant Moran gave his recommendations, and I don't know if they did provide the board a management report recommending any things that needed to be changed or addressed. I don't know if you're allowed to share that with this body or not, but I would be interested if that could be shared with this body. That's really the key findings of the audit. Relative to this, I don't know if this may have been one of the findings, but just wanted to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy to speak on that. There are, when Moran goes through their process of auditing, and when they have findings, if there's something that's been misallocated, a bus transportation to Macomb County that should have been Oakland County, we make that transfer internally in our accounts, and anything that is underspent in terms of our spending is rolled into the next year's obligations. So does that make sense? So if that affected our spending for the next year, we would make sure that we roll that into the next year's spending for Macomb County. And we do make that internal allocation internally. Redirection of expenses on the GL internally. One of the things to also note that Plant Moran, you'll see in the audit as well, is that the service agreement spending was a certain level, and we have exceeded that in all categories on a regular basis, with the exception of the senior program, and we did roll those expenses into the next year. So that is a way that we're making sure that we're meeting and exceeding the obligations to the counties as well. Did that answer your question?
Commissioner Smith?
Thanks. Thanks. Thanks for being here. And I was just down at DIA a couple weeks ago, and it was fantastic. My kids loved it. They had a little tour of all the things that the kids would love, and they can't wait to go back. I liked what Salvador had to say. What he said made perfect sense, that you used to look inward, and basically it was like a kind of a closed group. If you wanted to come join us, come join us. And that this millage has caused you to reach out to the public and look at what everybody wants and what they would do. I thought that was very insightful, and I'm happy to see that change. As far as the senior thing goes, when you say the bus transportation's available, but you want a full bus, how do they plan something like that, not knowing necessarily if East Point's going to have 10 people and St. Clair Shore's going to have 3? I mean, do you guys coordinate that?
We do.
You do coordinate it?
We do. We have a group reservations department that coordinates that. So any senior center that would be interested in participating in the Senior Thursday program would contact our group reservations department, and they would work out the logistics to make sure, so a senior center might say we have 25 people, another senior center would say, okay, we've got 35 people, we'll route those buses and make sure that that's routed appropriately. So the goal is really to make sure that we're being fiscally responsible on how we use those buses, and making sure that they're full buses is critical.
Right. But on the other hand, what if you don't get a full bus on a Thursday? How do you still bring the people? Do you give them a certain amount of notice? Or, okay.
We will. In some cases, there might be a bus that they said they'd have 25 people and they go down to 2 or 3 people. We would encourage them to schedule another day. But for the most part, if it fits in with a certain parameter of having about 25 people on a bus, that to us makes it a fiscally responsible tour.
You guys scheduling something? Oh, sorry.
We're thinking we're going to throw off the bus.
You said throw Grandma off the bus.
And Dave was asking me if they go to the golf course to pick up people, too.
All right, thank you.
With or without clothes.
The senior program also has a number of opportunities. Seniors also get a little refreshment area where they can gather together and they get coffee and cookies and can kind of mix and mingle with each other. So it's a great opportunity to sort of bridge communities as well, and talk a little bit about what they've learned and what they've seen today. So if you haven't come down for a Senior Thursday, I encourage you to come down and just take a look at it and see what's happening, because it is a very exciting, very fun opportunity.
As an observer.
Commissioner Marino?
I'd like a motion to receive the file.
Motion received, filed, moved by Marino, supported by Duje. Just quickly, the commissioners have a chance to go through the 2015 report. It breaks down each one of the categories they were talking about and the numbers since the millage started and the investment rate of what they're supposed to have under the contract and if they've exceeded that, which they have in pretty much every other case but one. It's just a good read. So with that, Marv, you good? Can you get him some art classes down there? He needs some continuing education. So, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you so much for your.
Yeah. I've got one question. The pickup stations, they're always at the recreation sites in the cities, or where are you having them?
So, the pickup locations for Senior Thursdays are scheduled based on senior centers. So, sometimes they're church groups. Sometimes they're senior centers. Sometimes they're parks and rec departments that decide they're going to organize it. So we really look to the communities. We don't want to say where you need to pick up. We're looking to the communities to ask us where we can send the bus to. So please call and let us know where we can send the bus.
Just two quick things that I want to mention. We're planning a director's cut for the fall in the south end of the county. And also the DIA Away trailer. It's so popular, we have to book that almost a year in advance to get that out to your event, school, or whatever. So, great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your patience. We'll move, without objection, new business and public participation, so then Mr. Appleby can give his presentation and we can seamlessly go on the tour of the ballpark. Is that fair?
Sure.
New business. Any new business before the commission? Commissioner Sauer.
I want to congratulate your staff. I went up for my college exam yesterday on the computer, and I'm walking around, and they're going through hell working up there. I got congratulated, and they did a great job.
I'm not going to lie. I'm walking by, and I saw Marvin a cubby, so I snapped a photo of him. And I'll have it for the next meeting, but we're short-staffed, so I put Marv on the intern duties over there. So.
Thank you.
Did you pass?
Oh, yeah, I got my degree.
6 hours, so. With that, any other new business? Seeing none, public participation, any members of the public wishing to speak, please state your name and your address, and please direct your comments at the entire Board of Commissioners. Thank you.
Pastor Bill Bradley, 2645 Springwood Road, President of the Michigan Advocacy Coalition. A very few years ago, a man of honor sat in the chair that belonged to Commissioner District Number 9. There has been none like him since, and today there has been none like him. A welcoming center has been named in his honor. He cared about all the people. And yes, although his district had the largest percentage of black Americans, roughly 35%, he still represented all of his constituents. He even chastised me for wanting to do otherwise. If there is a possibility that another black American could ever occupy a seat in this commission, it would more likely than not be that seat, District Number 9. One would think that all would be done to find the most qualified candidate, Republican or Democrat, white or black, hopefully black, to occupy that seat again. Unfortunately, such has not been proven to be the case. There's a small cabal who believes that this district seat belongs exclusively to them and exclusively to them alone. They will determine who occupies the seat. They believe that they can manipulate the black electorate to accomplish that end, that they and nobody but they themselves would ever sit in that seat. Since Bobby Hill, that seat's passed to Brule, then it passed the baton to Miller, and now because of shenanigans revealed in an ethics complaint, Mr. Miller has hand-delivered or intends to hand-deliver or did hand-deliver to ensure that Brewer gets that seat. It is my opinion that as of a few days ago, Miller played a major role and with Brewer was even willing to orchestrate a chain of events where he would put together a group of people under a name that he chose in a meeting that he called for, and the group name was so unimaginative that it was a play on words for Black Lives Matter, the chant that he screamed out at the dedication of the Welcoming Center. He put together a report that he wrote, a white hand doing all the work and research, but giving the document a black face, not because the cause of the document contained in the document was not just, but because he wanted to ensure the black vote is securely in his back pocket. Isn't it interesting that all of this is being done in an election year? He wants to be the clerk. He wants Brewer in his chair. And all that's going on is about that end. This chair belongs to, exclusively to, the Brule, Miller, Brewer triumvirate in their minds. So for the record, Mark Heckel is aware of our black concerns reflected in the document that was sent to the news. You see, what we did as a coalition and our collaborations were off the radar screen because at that point, that was where it should be because we had no ulterior motives and our only interest wasn't election but equity. And so blacks need to awaken to the exports of carpetbagging scalawags who promote their own agendas, feigning it to be our black agenda. You see, after Mr. Miller gets what he wants, a white document with a black face concerning issues already under discussion, then it was shot off to the Detroit News. He didn't even give certain signatories advance notice that it was going to be at the news because I spoke with some of them. His aim, his single ambition, is the November election, and woe be unto the wounded along the way. And he was willing, or is willing, to do whatever is necessary, even feigning that he cares about the concerns of black people who he underrepresents, except in an election year. And this is the worst kind of hypocrisy. It manifests a person with a self-interest at the expense of those he claimed to care about. And to think that such a man presently sits in the seat of a man, a great man who once passed this way, and because of shenanigans, as we have seen since he has occupied the chair, a man like Bobby Hill may not pass this way again. And hopefully I am wrong. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Any other members of the public wishing to speak? Please direct your comments at the chair or at the board itself, not individual members. Thank you.
Yes. Hello, my name is Greg Murray. I live at 297.5 Euclid Street, Mount Clemens, Michigan, in District 9. I am also the Executive Director of the Michigan Advocacy Coalition, and we are based here in Macomb County. The Michigan Advocacy Coalition seeks to collaborate, not to coerce, to seek cooperation rather than to demand capitulation. We know that changing the form of county government requires a learning curve, and we relish the idea of working with one responsible person instead of 26 or even 13. There's a certain assured responsibility when the buck stops at one person's seat. We understand that changing organizational culture takes time, which is a precious commodity in a political universe. Quite a while ago, we chose to start a dialogue with the county executive office that began with a quest for recognition of the contribution of the local man, a humble man, a man who gave so very much back to both his community and to the community at large. That collaboration between the community and the county executive's office and the Macomb County Board of Commissioners resulted in the creation of the Bobby Hill Welcome Center. Building on that, our dialogue continues to this day, which may have prompted a jealous attempt to derail and redirect energy away from our efforts to identify institutional changes needed to ensure equity throughout county government. I would like to make it perfectly clear that the Michigan Advocacy Coalition does not believe in or support quotas. However, we do believe that there is a way to widen the applicant pool to increase the diversity of applicants vying for and securing positions within Macomb County government. For example, one area under the discussion with the executive's office was a goal of developing a true double-blind application review process that will ultimately result in a richer diversity within the county workforce. Enhanced qualification and outreach relative to employment opportunities is also under consideration and discussion. To say that these things were not being considered is an outright lie and a manipulation. So I say to you that the engagement continues today, and we look forward to further progress in the loosely formed work group tasked to serve our county's best interest. However, I'm also here today to decry and describe an unethical campaign designed to take advantage of black people for our political gain. In my opinion, Commissioner Fred Miller slyly undertook a strategic effort to secure votes from the black community by spearheading a meeting at the Clinton Macomb Library earlier this year, and we know that because the participants shared that with us. His possible purpose for that meeting? To excite and incite, to irritate and agitate, to use animus as a weapon pulled from a decades-long stock of political trickery and chicanery aimed at a desired political outcome that could help propel him to victory in November. Shame on that commissioner.
Sir, we do have board rules that all 13 members have passed that does not allow you to attack one commissioner in a public setting. Please direct your comments at the chair of the entire board.
Okay, well, I'll continue without reference to that particular commissioner. Knowing full well that efforts were underway to reassess and potentially inform aspects of the county's hiring practices, an effort was undertook to stoke the ire and anger that would serve a purpose to use plantation politics for personal political gain. And there was probably an intention to pull another along on those corrupt coattails as well. Elders in our community define plantation politics as an effort of a white politician who attempts to rile up and divide black people, the people who signed this bogus document, for political purposes, to create a false narrative of supporting blacks, hoping to later redeem counterfeit political currency when soliciting black votes for a countywide candidacy, and who then abandons them, deciding not to publicly and personally confirm his involvement with these same incensed blacks, or to not elaborate at this meeting on what that person did to assist in the writing of the document.
30 seconds.
You received. Okay, all right. I think that it's important that this board investigate the manner in which that letter was distributed. I think it's important for this board to investigate whether or not any county time or county employees were involved in the writing of that document. And I believe that you will find in both instances that there were transgressions and violations of your own codes with respect to that. And so I do have for the chair
your time is up.
For consideration and dissemination a copy of what my statements.
Thank you, sir. It will be put into the record.
And thank you all very much.
Thank you. The clerk will put that into the record. Any other members of the public wishing to speak? You have 5 minutes. Please state your name and your address.
Good evening, members of the Macomb County Board of Commissioners, Joseph Hunt, homeowner and taxpayer of the city of Warren. Basically, because I had read the article, what I would like to touch upon what I had prepared for the earlier comments regarding the hiring practices in the county of Macomb. As far as the overall population, 880,000 or what have you, There's 616,000 registered voters in the city of Macomb, of which only 400,000 really only vote in presidential elections. Specifically, what I'm looking at here through my use of the Freedom of Information Act is to try to understand the workings or the non-working of a public office that's not attached to the Main Street there in Mount Clemens, but sits off of Dunn Drive on Roosevelt. One of the things, as I mentioned earlier, I got 55 names of the individuals that work in the public works office. And what I've been doing is I've been going through and trying to figure out which people are useful, which people are useless. That way, the will of the voters allows me to go past August into November. I'm looking at basically replacing about a dozen of these individuals because I don't feel that they have the necessary qualifications to continue providing the functions of that particular elected office to the citizens of Macomb. As these gentlemen have said, that basically the disenfranchisement of the particular communities, people within communities, is often directed by those that actually hold the power structure, and the real question is the use of public resources for personal gain. As a homeowner taxpayer in the city of Warren, there's 134,000 registered voters in the city, and there was a dynamic change between the year 2000 and 2010 in the number of African Americans that have moved into the city. But yet the city of Warren basically does not hire African Americans. It's basically they hire their friends and their friends of friends. It is that the sworn officers of 144 that we have one black female officer. Over at the county, there's over 2,000 individuals that are basically employed by the county. And a lot of the issue comes down to exactly how it is that you make this information available onto the website. The city wants an equal opportunity employer. They have violated many equal employment opportunity laws. There's some things over at the federal level right now where there's an investigation into those practices. And basically, Macomb County is an equal opportunity employer, and we'd like to basically see in the future, as there is a website, that there specifically is a hiring practice that allows for anybody to apply, and that there are certain equal employment opportunity mandates under Title IV, I believe it is, that in essence it goes to the best qualified candidate. Like I said, the list of 55, the one thing that I did get through my FOIA, it gave me the opportunity to find out the date of hire of these individuals. I'm surprised that one individual has been working with the Public Works Office since February 1st of 1971. So that was when I was 6 years old. So I think that basically what it comes down to is that some people should retire, some people shouldn't be in these positions. But once again, that's the discretionary power of the elected official to basically go out and appoint whoever is as far as a deputy, or to find out who it is that within that office that they can replace. Because many of these are unions, I just can't go in and replace people. But I'll try. I mean, the main thing here is I feel that basically with the changing dynamics of the Macomb County, there's a lot of communities, such as Warren, that you left, very international in nature. The issue does come down to is I don't find that the our community and culture is reflected in the elected positions whatsoever. As the gentleman said, is there any public resources being used for personal gain during this election season? And that definitely needs to be looked into by the Ethics Committee. Thank you.
Any other members of the public wishing to speak? Going once, going twice. Please state your name and your address.
This is such a very delicate matter. I think the word human beings is the common denominator. An application today doesn't identify white or black, red, purple, green. I think when they add the color in there, it's a more clear to how sensitive this situation is when we try to hire people. And when one person has the interview, and that one person could be prejudiced because that's who they are. We all have our prejudices. I pursue certain foods to eat than the average American because I was raised in a family that had to have certain food groups. And when you eat certain food groups that are positive, your body and your energy operates better. So the simplicity is we have a diversity of cultures, and we do the same thing with diversity of religion. We all get along because we're human beings, and we have the principle of our forefathers. liberty and pursuit of happiness. That are the two principles I believe that's missing in the concept of hiring. When you pass the test, you get 10 applicants. You look at the personality, you look at the work, employment of past companies. And if they give you a plus, that's a plus for that applicant. So then you get down to two, and then you have a group of people that have to select them. So there's never an identity of who is white or black. It's when you walk into the room, they identify that. And that's a shame because we don't see beyond that point. I meet a lot of beautiful people, and I look at what's in their heart. I look at their confidence, their ability to speak well, or their ability to be honest and hold the integrity that we all have as human beings, the respect and cooperation. So I think if there's guidelines, physical guidelines, that some business people follow at work, I think we need to reach out and come up with these guidelines and maybe have a duality of a way to hire people, just not by one person and one person alone, but maybe an honesty of integrity of you qualify because here's our checklist. It's not because you're white or you're black. That is not an American way today. My neighbors are beautiful people. And we treat each other as our neighbors. Detroit is next to us in the city of Orleans. And their population is more than predominantly black. But I don't look at the color black. I look at the people, real people, with a real heart. And they should be treated fairly across the board. And when they come to our meetings, give them the respect. And I can remember this one issue where a policeman from our city went into their to Detroit, and they were chasing somebody that's called bad guy, and that person died, and it happened to be a black boy. And there's a good group of people that came to speak about this issue and why this strategy had to happen and cause the death that wasn't necessary. But there's never a follow-up, and in my heart, I think we've got to go back to the basics. Justice. What is justice, and where can we go with this? And in your heart, think of something creative. Is it necessary? Is it truthful? And what can you do to be fair? Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wishing to speak? Going once, going twice, going three times, public participation is closed. Now we will do a presentation on the Utica Ballpark. Mr. Appleby? I'm not sure if you'd like to do more here or do more on the tour.
Probably take the tour.
Okay.
But thank you, everyone. So we just opened up last week. It's a ballpark that's even more spectacular than we anticipated. It just came out great, and I can't wait to show you guys. So I thought maybe if all of you had some time, we could go over there right now and take a nice walk. Looks like it's a beautiful day for it. And I think you're going to be amazed at what a crown jewel this is going to be for Macomb County. So I appreciate all of you being able to come. So thanks very much. And I can just walk the contingent over now if everyone else is adjourned on all of your other business.
We will just do the roll call and adjournment, and then we will walk over with you.
Perfect.
Thank you. Roll call.
Commissioner Brown. Carabelli.
Present.
Duje.
Present.
Flynn.
Here.
Kleinfeld.
Here.
Marino.
Here.
Majak.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Sabatini.
Here.
Sauger.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Toco.
Here.
Motion to adjourn by Duje, supported by Marino. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please adjourn.
She's like,
she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like, she's like,